Let's have a look at exactly what's going on in asylum seeker matters today. Here is Scott Morrison, part of his press conference.
Well, you've made a presumption in your question that I can't comment on. Again, you're making presumptions about instances that I can't comment on. Well, again, presumptions in questions that speculate on matters that I have not confirmed or provided any comment on. I refer to my previous answers.
That was Immigration Minister Scott Morrison, refusing to comment on asylum seekers at sea. Last weekend, we heard two boats with Sri Lankan Tamils were headed towards Australia, and then we heard nothing. Fairfax Media says that 50 people were assessed at sea by teleconference. Today, the Australians said they were to be handed over to Sri Lankan authorities. So the opposition and the Greens are demanding to know what happened. A lot of journalists are demanding something similar, and they're getting bubkis. As we heard earlier, the government's keeping mum. They're not confirming, they're not denying, they're not, really not saying anything. They're not even saying where the asylum seekers are. Joining me now is Greg Lake, who's a former director of offshore processing at the Immigration Department. Greg, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Waleed.
You told The Guardian that a couple of years ago, under the Labor government this was, the department considered the processing of asylum seekers at sea, which seems to be what's reported to have happened here. What exactly was the plan? Who recommended it and why was it shelved?
Yeah, look, a group of public servants got together at the end of 2012, which is when I was working there, and looked at the idea of saying, okay, how do we get people to be intercepted by the Navy or a customs boat and take them straight to an offshore processing centre or take them straight to Sri Lanka or Indonesia, or basically avoid having them arrive in the country. It was really out of a political interest to say, look, no boats have arrived. And the idea at the time was to say, well, let's sort of get a whole bunch of people, put them on a big boat like the Ocean Protector or the Trident and take them to another place. And at the time, they looked at all of the issues around how you do that. Do you take immigration staff and interview people on board the boat, or do you send interpreters, or do you do that by Skype? How do you make sure that you've got facilities on board the boat in time? All of those questions got addressed. The whole thing came unstuck because basically a little technicality in what you can do while you're actually holding people in detention on board a boat at sea. You can't sort of sit there and just wait around while you fill the boat up with a whole bunch of other boats that might arrive or might not. That brought the thing unstuck then, but it means that all of the groundwork for how this government are now going about doing this has actually already been done.
Well, you say they're going about it. We don't know that that's how they're going about it. They're just the reports. The government won't confirm that.
They won't confirm it, not can't confirm it.
Well, yes, they won't. Would it make a difference if the asylum seekers were being assessed on the boat that they'd come in on? So, for example, instead of getting them onto some other boat, a kind of mothership, what if you sent immigration officials onto one of these boats and they did it via teleconference? Would that change the situation?
Look, in reality, no. Whether or not a person is on a customs boat or on the leaky boat they came on, at the end of the day, they're under immigration. They're in immigration detention because they've been detained by somebody working for the Australian government. So it doesn't really matter where that interview takes place. And actually, there's a small degree of me that says it's actually probably better they're sitting on a customs boat because the facilities there are going to be better. They're going to be a lot safer, at least in the interim while all of this gets worked out.
Right.
So it doesn't really make a difference, no.
So the upshot of what you're saying, though, is that it was shelved previously because it was deemed to be unlawful in some way. It didn't comply with the Migration Act. Is that right?
Yeah, that's real. A particular part of it didn't. It was a particular thing that just kind of didn't work, and so the Labor government went, look, no, we're just not going to do it.
So are we in any position to assess on the basis of the reports that we have so far about what happened, whether or not this would run into the same legal problem?
I don't think it would, and I think the big difference is that in the situation the Labor government were looking at, they were going to create, you know, a mothership is the way we describe it, which is you get a big boat, you sit it there, and you go and intercept a whole bunch of other smaller boats and bring the people to the mothership, and then when your mothership's full, you sail for Nauru or Manus. This situation is different because they're not talking about sitting around on the water waiting for other boats to be intercepted. They're not talking about taking 153 Tamils and doing a ship-to-ship transfer to the Navy, the Sri Lankan Navy. So that waiting thing where you wait around to fill the boat up was the part that caused the legal concern, and that's not happening here.
What we do know is that a process of screening out has occurred in the past within the Immigration Department, and it seems from reports now that it is continuing to happen. Indeed, it happened on sea. This is a process where, as the report was saying, it was done by a teleconference here. An asylum seeker is asked a series of questions, maybe four questions, at a cursory thing, and then they're basically given a kind of interim assessment and convinced, if not told outright, that that's the end of their process and encourages people of them to leave. Now, this was challenged in the High Court and then settled out of court. So we haven't had a legal challenge on this. You worked in the Immigration Department. Were there concerns about the legality of this process?
Absolutely, there were. So this process is known as the enhanced screening process, and it's a great name because it's not in any way enhanced for the asylum seeker.
It's the opposite of enhanced.
It's exactly the opposite. So it started out as an interview they used to do at airports, and they basically just took out a bunch of questions. And now they say, who are you? Where are you from? How did you get here? And why did you come? They're pretty much what they get asked. And the idea is that in the responses that somebody gives, if there is any hint or indication that maybe they might have a claim for asylum, then they get screened in, is the kind of idea. And those people are then screened into a process where they go through a much more rigorous refugee assessment, probably on Manus or Nauru in reality now. By screening people out, though, we say, look, you don't really have a claim, and so we have no obligation to keep you or allow you to stay. We're going to send you back. It happens at airports all the time, and the airline actually has to fly them back. But when there's no airline involved like this, the Australian government are responsible for taking them. Now, it started out as a one-off. I don't know if people remember the they called it the pirate boat back in 2012, a group of people who they thought had mutinied. And it was a one-off thing that the government came up with, that the Department of Immigration came up with to deal with that small group of people in a particular set of circumstances. But then it got rolled out across, and look, thousands of people have been sent back under this process. That's the process which is now being done on water. That concerns me for a few reasons. First of all, it's a short process and it's not a very rigorous assessment, let's be honest. The other thing is we used to do it on Christmas Island, which is not great, but at least you're in an interview room, you've had a chance to go to the toilet, you can do it with an interpreter in person. And now we're talking about doing it where people have never left sea. If they're feeling seasick, they haven't had a chance to get over that before they answer these questions. And they're doing it via Skype.
Right. And they're being told effectively, well, they're being told, the hint is that they don't have access to a lawyer. They wouldn't necessarily know they have that right. We know from figures that have been published today by The Guardian that over the period of just over a year, of 13 months between October 2012 and November 2013, this was overwhelmingly for people from Sri Lanka. So it was over 3,500 people who were screened in or out this way, which is 99.2% of the numbers of people who were. So this raises very much what we then were proposing to do to those people. And presumably, the department's aim was to send them back to Sri Lanka, apparently in a belief that there is nothing to fear in Sri Lanka, whether you're Tamil or not.
Yeah, look, I mean, it was an explicit policy designed to say, we want to turn people around, send them back to where they came from as quickly as possible to send a deterrent message. That was the fundamental policy intention behind it, if you like. The thing that got me, or gets me now, is when we set it up under the Labor government, the idea was we'd fly them back to Colombo in Sri Lanka. And in Colombo, we had Australian government officials there for the first few days. It's actually criminal to leave Sri Lanka without the permission of the government. So on return, they were all arrested and then interrogated. And most of that process would take place with an Australian government officer around, and IOM, the International Organisation for Migration, were there to just kind of, we weren't guaranteeing safety, but we just made sure they weren't beaten up as soon as they stepped off the plane. When you do it by... That was one of the processes when we were doing it under Labor. The reality, and that's for the vast majority of those 3,000 people, that would have been the experience. They were arrested and found to be criminals, but which is not great. But you know, they weren't beaten up as soon as they arrived. The problem with a ship-to-ship transfer to the Sri Lankan Navy, if that's what ends up happening, is there's no way that there's any kind of Australian government oversight. We're effectively handing them to Sri Lankan officials and saying they're your problem, not ours. So there's actually no form or way of protecting them, even from just getting beaten up on return.
Just finally, Greg, can I ask you why you're no longer working there? You were the Director of Offshore Processing at the Immigration Department.
Yeah, soon after I left that position, I actually became the Director of the Regional Processing Centre, the detention centre on Nauru. And having worked in detention centres on Christmas Island and around the place, I realised that even though I didn't have a particular personal politics around this whole thing, what I saw as a professional really came at odds with my own value system. And I went, we actually just can't treat people like this, and I can't comfortably have a job where this is what we do. So it was a personal decision to leave, and a very challenging one. And having said that, I still believe there are people of integrity working in immigration. It's just that job wasn't for me.
And you know the political argument is that this is what's necessary to stop boats coming. That wasn't enough for you?
Not at all, because I think it actually doesn't take too much of a rocket scientist to work out there are ways of doing both. We do need to stop the boats. I was on Christmas Island for the boat crash. They're horrifically dangerous. There's no doubt that there's a need to stop boats. But there's a way of doing that and treating thousands of kids. I mean, there's 1,000 kids in detention. There's 37 on this boat we're talking about tonight. They're kids. We can't put them through these conditions. There's got to be a way to do both, to stop boats and actually look after people and value them as people.
Greg, thank you.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Greg Lake, former Director of Offshore Processing at the Immigration Department, 21 past 6. By the way, Sri Lanka's High Commissioner to Australia has made comments saying that his government would have no problem with a transfer of asylum seekers at sea, although he says he has no knowledge of any current plan, so there's no confirmation that that's what's going on. The Immigration Minister, Scott Morrison's refusing to say whether the group that were intercepted at sea will be handed over to the Sri Lankan army. The High Commissioner says that there should be no fears for asylum seekers who are returned to Sri Lanka and that the Greens leader, Christine Milne, is wrong to claim that people are fleeing human rights violations in his country. So that is what we have so far. Thank you for the texts that are coming in. I'll read some to air soon. 0418 226 576.